First of all, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. The 9th chapter, I make reference to it here tonight, of 9th chapter, the first verse. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, in this scripture right here, it would take a good little bit of time tonight to go into it. We've dealt with it a number of times in the past. This tonight, something that you kind of absorb. The biggest thing is going to require a little patience. If I get a little lengthy, which I may not do. It says here in this previous chapter, the Lord said, Daniel, 70 weeks is determined upon thy people to make an end. It was to bring in righteousness, everlasting righteousness. Not just righteousness for a season, but everlasting righteousness. And this is why that a lot of times I seem to be contrary to some doctrinal teachings, perhaps even in the Pentecostal churches, when I'm really not trying to be contrary. I'm only trying to preach the word. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And I'm just trying to stay with the word because I know that we're saved by faith, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And if I teach you anything and you come to believe that, then you go on until the Lord comes, and then all of a sudden it dawns on you that what you believe is not really the word, then you'll be lost and I'll have blood on my hands. So I'm trying to teach you exactly what the word says. And here it says that he will bring in everlasting righteousness. Not righteousness from one revival to another revival. That some should be righteous and then some should backslide and come back and backslide and come back. See, he says to you and I, he says, I have healed your backslidings. So God done away with backsliding. And God said, woe unto the backslider. Which means problems, problems, problems. If you call yourself backslid, which is one problem, one woe cometh, then another woe. And them that he loves, he chastens. You go by the whipping post. If you don't do what's right, if you get careless. See, when you know to do right. So he said, woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. You belong to me. I am married unto you. He said to Israel, thou art a backsliding heifer. And he put her away with the writing of divorcement. But he said unto us that I am married unto you. I have healed your backslidings. So then, when we think about this, we know that he brought in everlasting righteousness. I teach that once you're born again, you cannot be unborn. Once you are born again, you are dead to sin. Therefore, you cannot transgress the law anymore because you are dead to the law. And inasmuch as transgression of the law is sin, that you can never sin again. As the Bible said, and he that is born of God, the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God, and the motions of sin can never work in him again. So then the prophet said, and he shall bring in everlasting righteousness. And then it said that they would anoint the Most Holy, that this would bring in the anointing of the Most Holy, which reaches way over in Daniel's last weeks, the last 7 years called tribulation, that they should anoint the Most Holy, which brings in the temple and the Lord of hosts to rule for 1,000 years. And numbers of other things that we've brought out on tape from time to time of what would happen when this prophecy was to be fulfilled. And he said, Daniel, 70 weeks is determined upon thy people to make a full end. And that is saying that there will be 70 weeks, just 70 weeks is left at the end of the 70 years when Daniel gets this prophecy. Remember now, the kingdom has been divided. 10 tribes have gone away into Assyria, and they called them the lost tribes. That that remained is of Judah, where the crown was. The crown remained there, and that went down into Babylon later. And then Daniel grew up as a boy down there because he was a boy when they took him down to Babylon. And then all of a sudden, at the end of this 70-year period, after knowing all these things, having obtained favor with the king and God giving him great visions to where he just controlled Babylon to the extent he was made third ruler in the kingdom. See, and here he is at the end of the 70 years, and he's saying to God, he's on a 21-day fast, and he's talking to God, and these great things start happening. He begins to see visions, and the angel appears to him and said, Daniel, O thou beloved man of God, for he had set his face to know what would happen to his people in the end time. He said within himself, I know what is to happen in the 70 years because it's outlined in the scrolls of Jeremiah, the different teachers. All these things point to Babylonian captivity. And I understand this. He said, but now what's going to happen to my people after the 70 years? Now here he was nearing the end of the 70 years. So he began to pray and ask God what was going to happen to his people. Well, as he did, the angel came to him and said, Daniel, 70 weeks is determined upon thy people to make a full end. Now, when you say 70 weeks, see, when the 70 weeks was to come, then it was to be the whole entirety of the earthly scope. It was to be from the time that Daniel heard this prophecy, which was approximately 500 years before the coming of Messiah, according to history, and according to our biblical history that's called the silent years, where that's to say no prophets. And during this time, about the time that is that this prophecy came, Nehemiah was working as a servant for King Artaxerxes, who was a ruler in that day. Ezra also, the scribe. And so then they were there together, and he working for the king as to Nehemiah. And he was very sad because he was fasting. And the king said to him, what's wrong with thee? And he said, I cannot be happy because the city of my father, the walls have all fallen down. And he said, what will make you happy? To build the walls again? Then go get wood from the king's forest, go build it. And so then he gave him all of the timber that he needed. He went to build, and you remember the story, Sanballat the half-breed fought him the whole time he's trying to build back the walls, because when Nehemiah began to check the record and realized that his name was not on the roll, then Sanballat got upset because he wouldn't let him take a part in it. So he took out the roll of all the Jews that had gone down to Babylon, and even those that had married wives, had children, that had intermarried with the Babylonian people. He told them, he said, you'll have to put those strange wives away. They said, we have children. He said, you still have to put those strange wives away. So then those that were on the roll went in. The others he would not let go in. Well, all of this had to do with the prophecy, because the prophecy said 70 weeks is determined upon thy people. When you say 70 weeks, he said it would be 7 weeks, 62 weeks until Messiah would be cut off. We brought this out before in real detail. Then Messiah would be cut off. And when you sum all of this up together as to take the scrolls of the teachings of the prophets, a day is equal to a year in prophecy. Now, when you take that as to 7 times 7 and 7, the first time 7 times 7, 49 years of the first 7 weeks. And it took 7 weeks of 49 years. And he said, and the wall shall be built back, and built back in troublesome time. And sure enough, this is the way it was. When Nehemiah got this message from the king to rebuild, he started to build, but it was troublesome times. The temple had been destroyed, and now here they were going to build it back again. So when they started the building, Sanballat opposed them, and it was in troublesome times. 49 years, and then it was to be 62 years, 62 years, until the coming of Messiah. That plus your 49 years brings it up to what we said, 483 years, or to the 69 weeks, and left just 1 week from Calvary, which was 7 years or 1 week. And it's called the last week of Daniel because the angel gave it to Daniel in terms of weeks. So then it's called the last week of Daniel, and it's called the time of Jacob's trouble, because when it refers back to Jacob's trouble, it refers back to the time of Jacob when Joseph was lost and when the brethren took him off and sold him into slavery. And it was a great heartache, a time of heartaches for Jacob. All right, so then I'm just doing this to give you a little bit of look at it. Way back there, approximately 500 years before Calvary, which would be around 2,500 years ago. See, and now to bring it up to date as to over here where it would be about this time, to give you a little bit of view or a little glimpse of what's going on now. So then this prophecy came forth as to the end of the world. And though we cannot hardly grasp the fact that that would be the end of the world, just 490 years, when there's already just 500 years left to Calvary. Yet it is the true fact that that's the way it was. And 483 years passed to Calvary. And when the 483 years came to be, then all of a sudden this prophecy, God did not count this prophecy anymore. He stopped it right there. 483 years, and he severed from the 490 years 1 week or 7 years, and he took the 7 years and he placed 2,000 years of church ages or grace in between the 7 years and the 483 years. So then the 2,000 years extended from Calvary all the way over to the end of the world, the end of the days of the Gentiles of the church, to the rapture, the catching away, and then the 7 years would come back in. And when the 7 years come back in, it would be called the tribulation period upon Israel, which would be 7 years that would breach in between the 2,000 years and the 1,000 years that was yet to come, which was to be God's restoration and God's day of rest as to the finishing of God's week. In that here we find that one is likened unto a 1,000 years. That's one day as to God's week, and then we've got a 7,000 years that God was to work with mankind, including his rest. So 6,000 years he was to work with mankind, for the Bible said he created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested from all of his labor. And then it is said after this, that when 3 million people was brought out of Egypt, heading for Canaan, it was considered a rest. And this within this whole transitional period from Egypt through the wilderness over to Canaan, the promised land, it was the transitional period of time when we understand spiritual things, and it is revelated to us. And so then it was said that these people were headed for God's rest. Later on, Paul brings this out. Our Gentile, our overseer, which had this great mystery within a veil to bring to us, to let us know what God was doing and what he had purposed in himself before the world ever was, in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, Paul, in his writings, he said, seeing that these to whom the promise was given have entered into his rest, did not enter into his rest, and God being angry with them because they murmured against Moses and the ministry and would not do what he told them to do, therefore he swore that they should not enter into his rest. And seeing that these entered not into his rest, Paul said, therefore there still remaineth the rest for God's people, for them that will believe that can enter in. And he said, now, take these things as an admonishing, or these are for your admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. Therefore be admonished by these teachings of the study of the Old Testament, and you fear lest the promise should be taken away from you of entering into this rest. Now, he that has entered into the rest of the Lord hath ceased from his own works. So then we see all of this kind of put together a little bit to give us a picture here, kind of pictorial thing, and give us a foundation for what we're trying to say. We understand then that there is a rest for God's people. Now, the Jews will enter into the millennium, which is the true promised land of that which the 3 million sought to enter into, which was only typical or symbolic of this great, wonderful rest of God. They will enter into it going over the Jordan, out of the wilderness of their life, over the Jordan, into Canaan. Or that is over the tribulation period into the millennium. If you'll follow your revelational understanding, you'll find the wilderness, the dark ages, and the tribulation period is all three as to the same significance, indicating the Jordan, the crossing, the wilderness, these kind of things. It's in a first power, a second power, and a third power projecting. So then when we understand this, then we realize that there is something for God's people. And it's so beautiful. Everything is just set for it now, for the entering in to the rest. That is why the revelation has all of a sudden come here in the end time. After 430 years, I'll send a deliverer. And he will bring Jacob out. He will bring Jacob out. So it was said as in the last days, behold, out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer. And he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And it's obvious that 144,000 Jews are sealed at the first of Daniel's last week. Just as John looks in a great multitude that has to do with the church is in heaven. Then, about the time that this great multitude is seen in heaven, way over here in the book of Revelation, then all of a sudden this 144,000 on earth is sealed to go through the tribulation period that nothing should hurt them during the time of the opening of the bottomless pit. For the eighth chapter, there just at the beginning when the seventh seal is open, then all of a sudden seven trumpeteers, six of them sounds, the last three of them is whoa, whoa, whoa. And all of a sudden a vial is filled with the wrath of God from the altar, the hot coals thrown into the earth. And there's lightning and thundering and all of these kind of things that will have to do with the bumming, the shrapnel and the blood. And if we just had time tonight to take about 5 to 7 hours to go into these things in detail and put them together, it would take just about that. Then we wouldn't have just jump over these things and say little things sporadically. So then these trumpeters start sounding and they sound down to the sixth trumpet. Then all of a sudden there's a breach, and then there's an angel standing with 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, his hands raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. Which this agrees with what Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, taking it back to Calvary, where the severing of the seven from the 490 is. And showing that it was the end of the world so far as we're concerned, because the spiritual come in and heaven come in, and we are they that dwell in heaven. And from Calvary to that 7 years to the Jews as to the tribulation is heaven. So there's no earthly perspective. And it agrees with what Daniel said, that 490 years is determined upon thy people to make an end, because just as quick as the 7 years is placed back with the 483, right in the middle of the week of that last 7 years, the angel declares the end of the world, time no more. So it was only 490 years. And we see then the difference between the earthly scope and the heavenly scope, and what God did. And when he said 490 years is determined upon thy people to make an end, how did he put this in a mystery and put it in a veil and put it to where a person couldn't understand it? Because I myself could not understand it any more than anybody else, until one day when he spoke to me and he said, look, I want to show you and make you to understand. And as he did Daniel, so I've come to give you skill. And when I looked, and then I saw the seven divide from the 483, and then I saw 2,000 years come into it. And then he said, now, this is why that there was only 490 years determined upon the Jews. It's because the Jews went out of my presence at Calvary. And when they went out of my presence at Calvary, I did not bring them into my presence again as to the prophetical utterance here until the 7 years, which was 2,000 years past. And then I brought them back in. That I will do, he said. And said, then that seven with the 483 will complete the 490 years, which is an earthly perspective. And then all of this in between is a heavenly perspective. And thus it will properly fulfill the prophecy of the prophet. These things having to be spiritually interpreted. Fulfill the prophecy of the prophet that said 490 years, that's all there shall be. So then we see this 490 years and we begin to understand that Nehemiah was building the walls back to the Messiah or the coming of Calvary. And that when they were built back, the Messiah did come, but they did not receive the Messiah. They rejected the Messiah. And so then the crown did not go to the Jews. It did not go to the Jews. It went to the Gentile people, to the papacy, through the fall of Peter, to this extent, as history says, crucified upside down. And there, as Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, or the casting out, or where Paul said, I blame Peter to his face, saying, who hath bewitched you, O Galatians, that ye should not obey the truth. And so then being called the first papacy, it showed as to the casting out and the worm in the earth and showed that that crown was to bring in a pontiff that would have supreme say in the earth and that from that would come all of the religions of the world. All of them would spring out of that and all of them would be considered the whore's daughters. She would be considered the great whore, and all of them would be considered the whore's daughter, and it would only be one religion doing the whole transition of the 2,000 years that would be right, and that would be one faith, one God, and one baptism. When the church ages started there at Pentecost, when the foundation was laid, and that this would blaze a trail all the way through all of the southern and the other would branch out all over the world in all kind of religious sects. And at the end of that, the papacy, who is called Papa, would go in there and confiscate, and every one of them would come together, no matter what their belief was, Confucius, Mohammed, whatever it might be, as to the religions of the world, they'd all come together, and that he would give them the right and the leave to worship according to their conscience, but that they would do opposites unto him as unto Papa, and they'd have to conform to his way, no matter what they were. Now, this thing is close at hand right now. And that's why that I brought it out the other night concerning the three people that I spoke of the papacy and of Mr. Gorbachev and of the rabbi and of Mr. Gorbachev, the Green Cross, this thing concerning the arsenal, saying that he was completely leaving off with politics and that he was going after the safety of the people, which that isn't right. He is going after this thing, has a long shot, so that he can bring it around to correlate the people, to bring them to a political submission and have supreme control of them, to set up the powers, the united powers of Europe. And even the papacy has made the statement that with a united Europe, what we need at the head of it is Mr. Gorbachev. So you can see how much he'll be out of the political field, and there must be some communication between them as an agreement to work together, which again agrees with the scripture. For the scripture emphatically points out that the beast, when John saw it, that the whore was sitting upon the beast, and when John marveled, it was said unto John, why did you marvel? Come, I will show you the mystery of the great whore. And he showed the mystery as being a mystery, Babylon the Great, the Hoa, which come all the way from over in the days of Daniel, back at the time of the old Babylonian erection, when Nimrod, who married his own mother, when Nimrod built that place, and God smote that thing back there and scattered the tribes. Because that pyramid back there was built toward the star Dagon, which was the star of the devil, and God never would let them capstone the thing as to the pyramid, and that thing that was back there is to be a tower to heaven, went up, 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 and God just smote that thing and did not let them come back together until Pentecost, when he brought them together of all nationalities, brought it together in tongues, speaking in one language, the language of the Spirit. showing them there that we're all brought back together. And these that gathered from every nation unto heaven said, we do hear them speak with their own tongue wherein we were born. And this time it was a pyramid, but it was a pyramid city of lively stones in the spirit upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders. Paul, having been caught up into the third heaven as the overseer looking down to capstone that thing, he was looking down as the wise master builder to build this beautiful city of New Jerusalem, the lively stones up to the star Christ, up to that thing as to Paul, Paul saying, not I that liveth, but Christ. And so then we could go for days on this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ as to bring this about. But I'm dropping these things in so that you can get a good look tonight. So then we see these three men coming together with what's called the global ethics. And now the conviction is, having written a book, Mr. Gorbachev, that now the conviction is that we're going to have those three things that I mentioned that night. Here, and one of those major things is religion. Whereas I told you that what it really will be as to the recreational side of life, going back to the Olympics, and it will be the political side of life, and it will be the religious side of life. And that all three of them will come together. And though it will come together in a different kind of title, this is what it will amount to over a period of time. So, with these three coming together, then all of a sudden it is said that the rabbi, being one of these, had committed a sin according to the other rabbis. He is one of the two, as to the two great rabbis. And he hath committed a sin that is the sin of the century. It is unreal, the trespass he hath committed as to what the rabbis have said, because he went directly to the Pope. Now, two can't walk together lest they be agreed. He may be a Jew. He may be religious. He may be the chief rabbi as one of those chief rabbis. But if he fellowships the Pope and he fellowships Gorbachev and they find fellowship together, his spirit is the same as their spirit. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And that lines up with what the Bible also says, that in the latter time there will be these three that will come together, and it will be, as the Bible has stated, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. And these people depict that very clearly in coming together there in the global ethics, saying that we're going to have to settle this dispute by a religious approach, because now perhaps two-thirds of the war or more is caused by religious problems, which we said before that that's what it was. It was religion causing it. And now Mr. Gorbachev has decided that the only way to settle it is to have a world religion. Not only a world money now that we said we'd go back to the German mark, but now a world religion and also a world government. Because Mr. Gorbachev coming to America, the thing he wanted was a united army, which you know that happened when Mr. Bush brought this new thing about, as they called it, and reversed it and used it against the communist power instead of for. But it still has yet to correlate. That's what Mr. Colin has to do with coming in, and that's what the German leader has to do with in coming in. And that's what Mr. Graham has to do with in going over into the foreign country and more or less cutting his crusades off in the United States. See, the religious light gone, the government of the United States gone. No more, it'll just be a rebellion and revolts, because I said so many people coming in, they're going to have so many different minds and split up and splinters the way they are after Mr. Reagan had them together like he did. All of a sudden, they just split up and wait, each one group waiting for a leader. So in this, all coming together, these people that are used to settling a dispute by spilling blood rather than voting, all of a sudden they'll revolt, as we said they would in America, and just be torn, everything be torn all to pieces. And even just two or three days ago, the report came that on TV, somebody was telling me that they saw it, where they were just about ready to fight on this TV program. And they were saying, we will put Mr. Clinton out, said we'll put him out because he has been, I'm not sure the terms was wretched, but along this line, one of the most wretched presidents we ever had. And we will defeat him. We'll put him out of there. All right, just dropping in a few of these little highlights along here to try to get to what we want to say tonight. You see then how everything is fitting together. Now these three men, remember this. It said that out of these three, out of the false prophet, the Antichrist, and out of the beast, went three unclean spirits like frogs that went out into all the world to gather together all of the world through these signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders. They went out into all the world to gather them together to the battle, the great day of the Lord, or to the battle of Armageddon. They went out to gather them together. Now, see, what is this? What are they talking about? This right here is where we see the scripture again. The scripture from the middle of the week of Daniel, where it is said in Revelation 12, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. Lucifer and his angels fought. And there was found no longer any place in heaven for the devil. The old dragon was cast out into the earth. Immediately, Revelation 12, he's cast out. Revelation 13, John is standing on the sands of the seashore of the Mediterranean Sea, where some of you have been right there with us. And out of this that's called the Great Sea came this beast with bare feet, with the seven heads, 10 horns, a leopard body, and a lion mouth. Came up immediately, Revelation 13, after the war of Revelation 12. The child was caught up to the throne. The woman was in hard travail. And there she was in heaven, wanting to bring forth her child. And the dragon ready to devour the child as soon as the child was born. All of a sudden, the child was born, and up went the child to the third heaven, and the dragon couldn't get a hold of it. And then Michael and the angels rose up after the birth and fought against the dragon and cast him out. And the dragon went away into the earth. No more place was found for him in heaven. Now, this is a strange saying, so you have to understand spiritual things. All of a sudden, the woman goes into the wilderness. Now, how is it that the woman goes into the wilderness when she was in heaven, and it doesn't say she was cast out of heaven? It says the child went up to heaven, but she went into a wilderness. And then it says the dragon was cast out. And now here we find all of a sudden the dragon is chasing the woman, and the woman goes into the wilderness. She had birthed a child. She goes into the wilderness. See, how can that be? It's because there is a first heaven, second heaven, and a third heaven. And what John was doing, he was seeing this in the second heaven. And that means illuminated. That means that Satan has made a heaven that has reflected that third heaven. And because of that, the reflection of that third heaven, see, that third heaven, it gives a second heaven, and this woman was there, and it doesn't say that the grace of God from Calvary that had made that heaven by allowing the wicked to continue on as he put the reign on the just and the unjust. It doesn't say there, see, that this woman was put out of that, but it does say that Lucifer was put out of that. So, when John saw this, the war took place. Remember, it was the middle of the week. And now here was a war. Revelation 13, here comes the beast. Revelation 14, and all of a sudden here comes one on a cloud, a sharp sickle in his hand, a golden crown on his head. Someone saying, or an angel saying, thrust in thy sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Reap. And then out of the sanctuary or the temple, here comes another one with a sickle in his hand, and an angel said, thrust in thy sickle and cut down the vine and gather it into the winepress of Almighty God. So this is Revelation. We see this over in Revelation 14 at the same time. There's on the mountain, Revelation 14, the Lamb that had appeared there, and 144,000 was sealed to the first of the week is caught up to the mountain. And here, the Lamb is there to greet him. Now, see, this shows the middle of the week. This shows what Daniel was talking about here, that one that shall come shall confirm the covenant for 1 week when this covenant is made. 1 week. And in the midst of the week, the covenant shall be broken. Now, he will take away the daily sacrifice, the oblation for the overspreading of abomination, or that which makes desolate. The abomination, or that which makes desolate, which is what Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples sitting there on the mountain. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he said, then he that is on the housetop, don't go back for what you have there. If you're out of the city, don't go back into the city. He said, flee into the mountains. Flee and pray that your flight won't be on the Sabbath day, nor in the winter, because it's cold in the Judean mountains in the winter. And if it's on the Sabbath, they can only go 1 day's journey and have to stop. They can't take their beds. They can't carry anything as on the Sabbath. So he said, pray that it won't strike at that time. All right, now, so he says, and the abomination that Daniel spoke of, way back here where I'm picking up this prophecy from. All right, let's just keep it in our mind and we kind of put it all together as we go along. So then we see the middle of the week. We see the breaking of the covenant. We see Israel is going to flee. Now, who is this that's going to flee? The child is caught up. And we refer to the 144,000 as the bodily perspective to show what happens to the spiritual child. As to the church, the spiritual Jew. And then we refer to the woman as that one that went into the wilderness. And there, where the cities of refuge was across the Jordan, a place prepared for her for times, time, and a half a time, and it looks like that she'll flee to the Valley of Petra. And don't forget that during this time, you can't buy nor sell unless you have the mark of the beast. There's no survival for anybody that rejects the mark of the beast, because at this time, there's an angel flying through the heavens saying, the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. At this time, there's two prophets that is standing there ready to be killed in the middle of the week that came on the scene at the first of the week that's prophesied for 3.5 years in sackcloth and ashes. And now Satan is being cast out. And we can see the persecution of the woman. That is Satan going after Israel. Or that is to say, Satan personifying himself and gathering together this great army. Because when the three unclean spirits go out to gather all of them that are in the world, it will be this thing concerning Gobachan and concerning the united Europe, to where that this will be confiscated, as these three spirits being the same unclean spirits. And all of these are motivation toward the flesh, Satan saving the things that be of the flesh, of politics, religion, and of the recreational Olympic side of life. See, and them going out together, all of these people into a confederation as to a united thing reaching all the way from the Atlantic, as we brought it out the other night, over to those mountains of Russia, the Ural Mountains. Now, gathering them together, gathering them all together, said these three unclean spirits would go out and would gather them together. And when they come together in this great, great confederation, this wonder that John saw in heaven will then take place. And this dragon that comes out of the spirit, that is to say, no more blood on the seat of atonement. The illumination of grace is no more. The end of the days of the Gentiles is there. And now Satan's going to personify himself. He is going to try to enter into the temple that the Jews have built in the first part of the 7 years, because they're going to try to build it back. And we'll clarify this in just a few minutes. And then at that time, he'll try to enter in to make himself God. And then this will have to do with the breaking of the covenant. Now let's look at it a little more precisely. So we see that all of these armies will be gathered together. Why will they be gathered together? because it's in the middle of the week that Satan is forced out of the spirit. Though he is an angel, he cannot dwell in the spirit anymore. He must make himself manifest, or he must put himself in a body to where he can be seen, and then he'll set himself up as a king, and he will take control of all the people. And this will be the setting up of the kingdom of the Antichrist in the middle of the week. And the powers of Lucifer will then be in control of all of the world. Right at that time, if you remember, right at that time is just prior to that, that the angel has said, time no more. That is, God was saying, I'm finished. I'm finished. For it said, in the days of the voice of the sounding of the last trump or the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. We say the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness, all of these wonderful mysteries. Now he said, and the things of God will be finished. That is what I purpose in my heart in Christ before the world ever was, having given the blood to be able to work this and to atonement to take care of this and take care of you till I work it to bring you to this wonderful understanding for the chain. He said, now, all of this has been a great mystery. As to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that by grace. Then all of a sudden he says, now it's all over. I finished. Which brings to pass Calvary. For Jesus stood at Calvary with his hands lifted up and said, it is finished. And this 7 years belongs to the 483 at Calvary. And now we're just 3.5 years away from the 483 in the middle of the week. And here it is, and we see as it was Jesus, time is no more. Here is the body of Jesus in this bodily perspective. Over here, this is a spiritual, angelic being to show Christ on this side. So then the breach in between here, which we don't have time to elaborate on, shows us that God is finished. And when God is finished, the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. He is now through with the Gentile people. He will not use a religious reflector anymore. Therefore, there will be no more grace, no more rain, no more sunshine on the terror. We will have been on the inside, restored to that as it was originally when the earth was watered from within in the garden, so that there could be no parasites, no hogwallers, no nothing. See, after the fall, the tilt of the earth, the tilt of mankind, the rain had to come to keep the righteous alive, and the terror took advantage, had to come from heaven. Cutting it off here, see, no more grace, because now at that point, the fountain is open in the house of David. Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. So when we come to the middle of the week, we see this angel that said, cut down the vine. We say these things went through the grapevine. The grapevine cut down the Gentiles. I'm through with them. The day of the Gentiles is over. I can't use them anymore. I don't want them anymore. They have now come to take in the mark, and I will not look on them anymore. It is iniquity. That is a willing submission. And now there's no blood for me to look at them through. I now would have to look directly at them, and I cannot look on iniquity. So away with them, all goes into darkness, and gross darkness fills the kingdom of the Antichrist from the middle of the week as he sets it up, just as Gorbachev, and these come together to set that thing up in the middle of the week. Then, all of a sudden, the light withdraws. No religious light or understanding whatsoever. And they bring that one world religion together, which will be Catholicism, pauper over it. And it will boycott under the 666, which number is already on the head of the papacy, on the crown, that is. Vicarius filii Dei, broken down, it's the numerical order, 666, which means the number of a man. Coming under Papa, coming under him, as to the Antichrist coming through that, as to those heads that John saw, 93 AD or 96 AD, back in there, He said five are already fallen, showing it was Babylon back there as to five of those headships. He said one is Nero and died in that day that was persecuting the church. And now one is in power in his day and one is to come, which obviously was pointing way over here to the end time and brings us even around to Pope John. See, to bring about these seven heads. But remember when I brought this out one night in a little sporadic sort of a way, I only brought it out in just a kind of a fractional sort of a way. And I told you that though it be seven heads that was on the beast, that still wasn't the Antichrist. But all these seven heads did have to come. I said the last one is to what we had said about Pope John as to one of the heads wounded to death. They said it was a deadly wound. I said that wound will be healed. All the world wondered after it. I said I'd bring it all the way over to the end time, make the diplomatic relationship with Israel, and then after that, that would end it. And then the next one that comes on the scene will be the Antichrist. Because it is said, though there were seven of them, it said, then there came forth an eighth. There was not seen an eighth head on the beast, but there came forth an eighth. And this eighth one is the Antichrist. And the Bible said he is of the seven, which means he has to come through the papacy as to the same thing of the 666, coming through the papacy or coming through the Roman powers. A lot of times we get confused because we look at the beast when John saw it and we see the great whore on the beast. So we say, there's the great whore. That's the Catholic Church. So it couldn't be through the papacy. But see, it wasn't speaking of the papacy. It was speaking of the church that comes up under the papacy. And the head of the church goes back to the papacy and goes back to the Antichrist. So then the great whore, it indicated that this beast would be that coming together of those things as the constitution of people that are not Christians, because people that are not Christians are beasts. When God showed Daniel those visions back there, he showed them people, them kings, as beasts because they are beasts. And in the end time, when it all comes together, everyone that comes together that's not a Christian will be the beast. And all of them will form that body of that leopard body, of that bare feet, of the lion head, which was identically what Daniel saw in his day when he saw Alexander the leopard. And he saw a Medo-Persian as the bear. And he saw Nebuchadnezzar as the lion. And the same Babylonian system coming together right there in the end time, it puts it all right back together. And when you look at the leopard, it goes back to Greece and goes back to Olympics. And when you look at the bear, it goes back to the political powers of the old thrust of that thing back there when Daniel saw it there, when he saw it as a bear, when it raised up and had those ribs in its paw and it said, devour much flesh. And when you go back to the religious side of it, you'll go right back to Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was converted, being driven out with the beast, converted to the extent that he began to believe in Daniel's visions and began to accept Daniel as his God and began to cater to the Hebrew children as his three leaders. And it just became like a religious empire down there. See, going back to that, and everything just comes right back together in that great Babylonian power. Now, if we had time tonight to go into that, we could show you what we're talking about. We run over this one time in a light thing where in history we find that Attalus, which was the high priest of Babylon, fled during the time of this Medo-Persian thing and the changing of the kingdom back there, and fled away from there and went over into a place called Pergamos. And when you look at the church ages that John spoke of, it starts with Smyrna and it goes down to Pergamos and it's called the seat of Satan. And we find that in history that he actually conveyed this title of priesthood from the Babylonian system over to Julius Caesar. He bequeathed it over, and then it came in. And when it came into that, it came into the Roman powers, because the thing that followed in Daniel's vision of the leopard was this strange thing of this iron thing that had these iron teeth and brass nails and just devoured, which had to do with the Roman powers coming in. So from that, it was conveyed over going up into Pergamos. Then history tells us that what is called the Etruscans, went from there down to Rome, and apparently they took this religious thing down to Rome, and then we brought it out about these two, Remus and Romulus, I believe it was, their names that was brought up with wolves. And brought up among these wolves, they had strayed off, got away from their parents. The wolves nursed them, brought them up, and they got control here in Rome. And then with this, we brought it out how that later on, Constantine's mother became a Christian when he came into power. And Constantine saw the Red Cross, and in the days of the Dark Ages, how it was the Crusaders that went through there and went all the way over to Jerusalem. And the mother built that shelter that is now over the birthplace of Jesus. And Paul, having been in prison, talking to these upper leaders and upper echelon, had got this into the hierarchy. And now they was building golden altars and decked the priest out in all of these robes and made him to be brought into the great ecclesia of the riches and powers, and took the old Babylonian system of their Sunday and their day of Esther and all these things, and brought in Easter and these kind of things, and Lent, and all these things incorporated as to transubstantiation to bring a mystic sort of a way. And then it was called Mystery Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And from there, even with Martin Luther coming out as to the Protestant, see, it still was a Catholic thing that came out. And it still spread until all these things were over the world. Well, anyway, dropping these all in just right, hurriedly, like, and you're paying attention real good. And we're not going to hold you very long, but just a little bit longer. To give you kind of a scope of this. So then we see it's brought up to date biblically. It's brought up to date historically. And we find that all of that thing has come into view. Now, the middle of the week, the first of the week, the church goes out. It's changed. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught out to meet God. For he shall descend from heaven with a shout, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, Paul's mystery, we shall not sleep. Someone would say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Post-millennius, pre-millennius. Some say afterwards, some say before. Because the Bible said Revelation 19, and this is the first resurrection. That is at the end of Daniel's week. And here we are talking about a resurrection before that it doesn't speak of. And yet there is one. There is one. And you have to understand, and we don't have time to go into it. But I will say this. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, which was at Calvary, to bring in the Gentiles, what will the receiving of the Jews be? At the tribulation period, the beginning of it, but the resurrection from the dead. So if the resurrection from the dead comes, that means that is the translation. So we see this, that whether post-millennialist, pre-millennialist, the dispute, it positively shows in the scriptures that it'll be before the tribulation period at the beginning. So you won't go through the tribulation period, neither will you see these things that I'm telling you come to pass, because you're not going to be here. I'm only telling you these things so that you can know where you're at right now. Because these things will be what the Jews will see. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. See, standing in the holy place, the place that ought not, which is Jerusalem. Around over there at the sanctuary. See, this means that you will not see it. All right, so then going on right hurriedly now to get on with what we're trying to say. Having brought it up to date to where we can kind of get a picture of it. The middle of the week, Lucifer's cast out. How is he cast out? It's just the withdrawal of this great illumination of God. And there's no more second heaven. Right now the woman is heavy with child in that. And it shows the Jews as to the bodily perspective. When that lifts, it means the blood's come off. It's lifted. Satan cannot, as in the days of Job, go into the presence of God again as he did through the human body back in that day as to the blood being on the seat of atonement from the foundation of the world. He can't do that anymore. He can't go before God to accuse us anymore. Never again can the accuser of the brethren go there, say anything else as he accused Job before God, because it will all be over and he'll be in total darkness. And God can't look at him. He can't get near him. And he can't get near God. The only way he's ever been able to get illuminated and get near God was in the body of a human being. That is through the wretched as to the terror that's got the benefit of the illumination of this light by means of the blood, while God gives opportunity to the saints, the predestinated for knowledge, to come out, to give them a chance to come out from among the world, because he's angry with the wicked every day. And the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone came. So the very day that the church goes out as to the change, like that at the first of the week, you'll find in that sixth seal, the heavens open like a scroll, and the sign of the Son of Man is there. And they run to the caves and the mountains crying, "Let them fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to abide?" So then we see then the middle of the week. So that's how the devil got cast out. The illumination left him like it left Adam in the garden. No more illumination as to the religious. No more reflectors. That's why the stars will fall. That's your middle wall of partition. That's the reflectors of the sun to keep the wrath off of us and the fears round about. The ozone would be broken down and the sun will become sevenfold and a third part of the moon, third part of the stars, third part of the trees, third part of the earth, third part of that which is in the sea be killed. The waters turning to blood, the star wormwood falling. All of this is a third part because it has to do with the Protestants, the Catholics, the Jews. Or it has to do with first power, second power, third power, as to Satan's spirit, man's spirit, and God's spirit. And Satan's spirit, which is the power of darkness, has climbed up above man's spirit and gotten in between man's spirit and God's spirit. And that's what caused the fall. God not being able to look at man. Then God had to come into the womb of a virgin, create a cell, get into that cell in that one place of virginity, and then make him a body and come through this body from the inside out to be in the midst of his people, to get past iniquity, to where he could look at the people through the blood of Jesus as to this righteous blood of the new life, and then put this body there for an atonement to take away the sins, to bring the foreknowledge to come to pass, in that it's given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary, preached down through the church ages, comprehended of the heights, depth, and width under the translation of faith. So then we see that with this, he in that body projected himself, and after putting the body for atonement, come into our heart as a spirit, working from the inside out to purify our blood, to make it royal blood, to change our body into the wonderful change of that celestial body. He hath worked this great thing that even Satan doesn't understand until today. He's confounded, and the angels desire to look into it as to how God outwitted him after he did what he did, and putting the iniquity there to take the body and make himself a God family, a God of this world. So in the middle of the week, we see this thing happening, and we see Satan cast out because the illumination left. The illumination did not leave the woman. Leaving off of the Gentiles, he was still with the woman. So the woman was still in heaven. You are still in heaven tonight, still dwelling in heaven. Ye that dwell in heaven, because you're not only illuminated, but you are on the inside born to the Spirit. So then it did not leave the woman. The woman went away into a wilderness, still protected by this wonderful thing that John had seen in heaven. And there, for a time's time, as to her purification, as it was in the Old Testament, after bringing forth the child. Now she's brought forth a man child, and she is there. Who is this that is being gathered together? All of the Gentiles. Why? It's time for the stars to fall. Don't need those reflectors anymore. No more vomit on my table. No more of the Gentiles to reflect this great, wonderful, strong light to them that are out there as babe among them. No longer. We don't need reflections anymore. That's why all of your evangelists are fallen. That's why we said the lights would be going out, well on their way out by 70. And these kind of things that we just love to go into, you know. No more of the stone age of that was of the Jews when they were cut off. No more of the moon, which is that stone, as to that which we say back here, revelationally speaking. We speak of the law where Paul said, and a veil over the face back here of them reading of the Old Testament. They couldn't see the revelation. And when the light showed it up as him being blind, he realized he had to go to the street, call straight, get that veil away, come into the revelation of the mind of Christ. And the veil is that intellectual thing that you have into you, have in you that come from a derivative as of the tree of the fall in the garden.
So with this, looking back here at this, Paul said they could not steadfastly look unto this which was to be abolished. That is to say, the stone, the moon coming down, the stars, the reflectors, that's this drifting around, the rock and nickel. It's got to come out. It doesn't belong up there. That Satan climbed up into that upper lintel. By grace, he got up there and got between God and his creature. So then here it is all over now in the middle of the week. So everything natural has to revelate and relate to it. Everything physically has to relate to it. Everything spiritually has to relate to it. Because what happens in one dimension happens in all of the dimensions. So then all of a sudden out goes Lucifer. And when he goes out, he sets up his kingdom in the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So we come up to this point now. Now, when we come up to this place, we know then that the three unclean spirits is going out to organize this world union. This united Europe, because that's the bodily perspective. Spiritual perspective over here, it's through with. The woman over here, the child, and the caught up to the throne. The birth is over here, nothing but problems over here. She'll go into darkness and go into a wilderness, which she's already done. Can't figure it out. We said she would, and she did. Now, the child going back to the throne, to Jerusalem, to bring that in, to establish the throne and the government, going by the way of Germany, and going back through this European thing as to the Antichrist of the 7 years, and then to Jerusalem, and then straight into the millennium, the child is caught up and sits on the throne with the 12 apostolic leaders for 1,000 years. So, here we are, in the middle of the week, we see then that this one that came to thrust in the sickle was to cut down the vine. And the vine was the gathering of all these armies and all these things to come in against Jerusalem. Because from the middle of the week, the seven vials is poured out. Revelation 14, they're poured out during the time of the seven vials. It's in there where we predicted that that river would be dried up. And sure enough, they found out they can dry it up. They've dried it up to make way for the kings of the east, which would be the organizing of the United Europe, which means asylum in China, Mr. Bush, the savior of Israel, and that putting his foot on the head of the dragon as to the legend, which was China, stopping the import, defeating Hussein, breaking down the Iron Curtain, and drawing communism out to the extent that Mr. Gorbachev doesn't want anything to do with it, which fulfilled what we said, that he would go religious. When he was over there in Rue, he'll go religious, and that he will not press the issue of communism, but he will travel around the world, and he will find out what is the best among the ethics of all, put it together, and that'll be his governmental thing that he'll bring in. And sure enough, he's turned to this arsenal thing to get their attention and found favor with all of them, come in like a prince to Israel, and then all of a sudden, here he is moving toward the political powers and the religious thing, trying to bring together as would be as to the east, which would be the rabbi, as to the Jews, and to the west, which would be Catholicism, as to the papacy, because America in general is either the whore or the daughters, and then the European thing, which goes back to Mr. Gorbachev. All three of these together brings the world together, and going out to bring these armies together and bring the confederation of people together, all of them will gather together by those three spirits of these great mighty things that these people will do as to the phenomenal things. See, and they will do these things coming together. When they draw them together, then it will be the end of the world. And we'll show you how it will be the end of the world in just a minute or two. Someone would say, well, how do you really know that? Well, first of all, for your sake, you can see it in the scriptures. Right there in the middle of the week, just before the sounding of that last trumpet, the angel says, time no more, which means Calvary is now effective, the end of the world. You know, the people upon whom the end of the world have come. The sounding of the last trumpet, and the voice said, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The very thing that's on our flag that was sent to Mr. Reagan, sent to Mr. Bush, and we're not going to take time to detail some of those things, but the thing is, it was also sent over to Israel. The man did not receive it. He went out of office. I said, the compromising will come. The tribulation will come. The time is here. I said, and now the days are over as to the calendar years, and the last 7 years is now upon us as to calendar-wise. So then we see that this happened, and then the reflector Billy Graham's gone out. The religious light out of America shifted that way, that everything might brighten up over there, because wherever religion is, religious light, comes a government. People begin to understand, and that's the way they get their government, just as Washington did over here. This completed its cycle, came all the way back to Mount Vernon, as it was with Washington's home place, place of seven governors at the end of the church ages, or nine governors, and coming here, and all of a sudden the little White House over here, all of a sudden the flag was accepted there, all of a sudden the flag comes from over yonder in Israel, and it comes from up here at Pope to show the papacy sort of a thing, and then this of Mr. Bush over here conveyed over as to that when he sent the little letter to us for the anniversary, and Mr. Reagan when he wrote to us over yonder at Eden to show that God is getting together a government. He has to have a government before another government falls. And when this one failed, he shifted it here, shifted it from over there, because as quick as they refused our flag over there, then the PLO come in and they put up their flag. And the PLO began to take over. And they had to start making what Daniel called the covenant. So then, we see this all falling around 93, just like we said. Now, the vine will be cut down. When it said, cut down the vine, it meant that all these armies would come across this river after a solemn, that of China, the organized, all coming against Jerusalem to make an end of Jerusalem, to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus spoke to them just before he went away when he made the statement, now your houses are left unto you desolate, and they'll entrench round about you. And all of these armies will come together against Jerusalem. I will show you just a little of why they'll do that. They'll come together against Jerusalem to make an end of the royal seed, which Satan has always tried to do. For the Bible said he'll set his palace between the great seas, and tidings out of the east shall trouble him. And he's been set in Rome in the Basilica of Peter all this time, and he's always been troubled with Israel about another Messiah coming, in that he made himself God. Now, so then we see that with this in Rome will come to pass this great world trade and this place that's called the common market. And that's what Revelation is speaking of, or Desolation 1 hour, when it said all the refineries is gone, because everything will be confiscated. America will not be getting their import here. All of it will go right there. That's why the shipmasters, when it was blown up, throw dust on their head and said, alas, alas, that great city that made the world rich has fallen. That is to say, the Basilica of Peter and the papacy, the Catholicism that sold their goodies and kept people in business with all of this thing, where she's drunk off of the blood of the martyrs. When we see this, all nations will be involved in it, coming to rebuild old Babylon and bring this thing back up as to Rome and Babylon, and bringing in a political power in Babylon, putting in the modern ways to get there, and then taking control of Jerusalem to make that the place of the priesthood, that Antichrist can have his rule there, just like this Pope that is supposed to be the successor of John Paul should anything happen. His name is Martinus or something, Martini or something like this. See, and he says his desire is to be in Jerusalem, to live and to die there. So I told you before, they already have some drawings as to a Vatican inside of the old city. Let's look at it just a little farther. Won't take long now. We'll be getting right down to the end of it here, because I'm having to really jam-pack things tonight, just enough to put it together where it'll be on tape. If you want to go back and study it and search it out in history and put it together and get God to talk to you, you'll have at least a formulated continuance of it as a continuity. So then we see the vine cut down. That is to say, when all of these people come in to bring the desolation of Daniel, which Jesus said, your houses will be left unto you desolate. Now when they all come in to make an end, at that time, Revelation 19, the heavens open, Jesus comes back on a white horse, the blood runs the bridle, because that is the battle of Armageddon. And it is the woman coming out of the wilderness, the time of the purification over, and the time of the millennium coming in. And it is Jesus coming to fight against those great armies for Jerusalem to conquer the world and become the head of the nation through the millennium. And when this happens, the saints come back with him. Now, when this valley begins to run with blood, that is what the Bible was speaking of in the book of Revelation, when it said, the winepress of Almighty God. More battles have been fought here than any place around the world. More blood spilt there. And then all of a sudden, here so many armies will be there that the blood will be to the horses' bridle. Stood there. Some of you stood there and looked across this valley with us. Here, the vine cut down. That's the Gentile. No more grapevine. Gathered into the winepress of Almighty God, the valley of blood. And it shall be trod, the winepress shall be trod, without the city. So this is the horses coming in. When this happens, it was just following where the one had appeared on the cloud with the crown that had the sharp sickle, thrust it in, reap for the harvest is ripe. He had gathered the cluster of the vines as to the grapes, as to the spilling of the blood of them that died at that moment when Antichrist confiscated his kingdom, forced the mark, and kill those that rejected the Lord. That's what that has to do with. All right, so at the beginning of the week, we see the heavens open and the Lord coming. Here in the 14th chapter, we see him coming again on the white cloud. And Revelation 19, we see him coming again on a white horse. We don't have time to go into that either. But anyway, this is what I'm saying, putting it together here to where you can kind of get an idea. The woman flees into the wilderness, the child goes up. Where is these that the Antichrist persecutes? It said he goes to make war with the remnant of the woman. If you cut the dress out, you got the remnant left. The child is gone, the woman is gone. He's angry, he can't get to either one. But all of them that are left in Jerusalem, and especially those that have been gathered in the last number of years, saying that these are Ethiopian Jews, and these are this kind of Jews, and that kind of Jews, and German Jews, and whatever, all of them coming together, and they're still oriented in natural things, still be interested in natural things, all of these things in there except the elect that will be pulled out of it. They will stay in there and they will not flee like the Lord told them. And when Antichrist goes against Jerusalem, as to these armies gathering in there, it will be that Antichrist going as the devil cast out, going to make war with the remnant of the seed. And when he goes in there, he will ravish the women, rip them up, and kill and destroy and such. The Bible said, in such devastation, there's never been, no, not since the beginning of the world. So we see how it fits together there. Now, let's look at it just a little bit different here. The middle of the week, there's an earthquake. That last trumpeter sounds, Revelation 11:15, there's a great earthquake. And the great city falls apart. I said the breaking down of the wall, the middle wall of partition, because now the Jews are sealed in. Their blood redemption as to the Lamb is on Mount Zion. And they're sealed in. The 144,000 is gone. The whole nation of Israel, 12,000 to a son. To a tribe, Israel, Jacob. So then we see that there he is, the deliverer, and the house of Israel is saved, the whole house of Israel. When we look at this, we say, why is the great city torn down? Because the Bible says concerning Jerusalem, the city, which spiritually is called Sodom, they're practicing such fornication. And the act of sodomy in Jerusalem, even inside the old walls, and all this filth as the Gentiles from all over the world. And he said, leave the outer courts out when John measured there. And don't measure it. It's got to be trampled down by the Gentiles. Coming from all over the world, there's trampling down every which way. Coming in there. See, and you can't say anything about it as of yet as to the redemption of it, as to the measurements to bring it into redemption. But you can measure the temple. And that's why we and the physical over here, as to the spiritual perspective, you can measure us on the inside, spiritually speaking, and our measurements comes out without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Keeping ourselves, the evil one never touches us. We're perfected forever, justified, sanctified. But you can't measure this body on the outside because it's the outer courts and it can't yet be changed. And we got to wait till the redemption, though it's the purchased possession. We wait for the redemption sealed inward in the spirit to the redemption of the body as in this second power, as that shows in the first power over there. See, and as it points to the third power of the spiritual thing, if we went into that. So it means that in this, as to this outer court, you can't measure that yet. You can't say that is yet in the likeness of God because it's already fallen from God, and the illumination and this indwelling light of this glory must be made manifest in your mortal gene to the altering of your countenance, to the transfiguration, to bring it into glory. And once it's there, it is measured by the word, the same measurement as that of the angel, and you'll have the same benefit of that on the inside. So then, with that, as to the middle of the week, they can't measure the outer courts because it's to be trampled down, and there is something that is coming at the breaking of the covenant where the Gentiles is going to get control and set up their kingdom as to the Gobachan thing, as to the beast, and in setting it up, then it's going to cause Jerusalem to be defiled in the sight of God, and the Jews won't have control anymore. And when they don't have any control, then God will destroy the thing and break down the middle wall of partition as that wall divides the old from the new, and the weeping and wailing of the Jews, where it said, and they'll come from the east, west, north, and south, set down in the place of the children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom be cast out of the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is at the wailing wall. In darkness, intellectual darkness, no light of understanding from God, till the Gentiles are finished. And that wall will then be broke down. There'll be no more weeping and wailing as to the Jews. See, because the body will be redeemed. The Jew will come in, and they'll stop that sacrifice of those natural things of the blood of beasts, and the new life and the new blood cell will be there in the middle of the week. Hold on just a little bit. Not quite through yet. So then, we know then that is the middle of Daniel's last week. The last trumpet sounds, war in heaven. All these great devastations has taken place. Now, what caused all of that? Now, the thought that we want to hinge the thing on tonight has to close out with just a few thoughts. What caused all of that? So the middle of the week, we see all of these things. We know then that there is a man with a mark. And we know that if he gets control and everybody comes under political power, if he's at the head, they'll be under the man with the mark or the mark of the beast or the number, because they, as Gorbachev and the man, has become confederate as to the papacy and the Antichrist system and the beast. And when you say beast, you're just talking about a body that is a natural body that's not a Christian. And yet this has to do with more than that, because as five fallen, one is and one is to come, and then the eighth as to the Antichrist, then so it is with when we speak of the beast. For it said he was, he is not, but he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So when we know where the beast is coming from, and we know the Antichrist will come through the great whole, as to be over the great whole through the papacy, and will be the eighth one that will come in there. And that is pointing right toward that thing of wanting to live and die in Jerusalem. See, and it is pointing as to the beast. It is pointing back to that where it was when it was said Judas, the son of perdition, that was there, that was. And now he is not. He went to his place. And then it said, and he is. For he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And the bottomless pit always has to do symbolically with the ocean. They cannot fathom the bottom. And when he comes up out of the waters among the people, being symbolic, he comes up as the beast, the 10 horns, which means, I say again, as a confederation, a constitution of the body of the old Babylonian kingdom, which is the body of the people, and of the 10 horns, which is the confederation of those 10 nations coming together, and as of the 7 heads, which is the papacy, which means of the Catholic Church, or the 10 horns that Daniel, when Daniel saw, it was as to the horn of the ram, and this horn broken as of this he-goat that struck the ram, 2 horns of the ram, Medo-Persian, the horn of the he-goat each one to the east, west, north, and south, one toward Pergamos, the east, Antichrist, seed of Satan, which we brought out historically a few minutes ago. This horn coming up waxing great toward the Holy Land. So then we see as to Antichrist there and the 10 horns, we see out of that came one horn. Among the 10 horns, subdued 3 horns, and that made 8 horns instead of 10 horns. Back to the 8, the Antichrist power again. So we see one of them is going to become a triple power to have strength among those nations. The constitution of those things, and then we brought out as to the old lion head and what it had to do with that religious thing. Back to Babylon, mystery Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. So then it's, we see the bare feet back to that communistic government of Russia. And the body is not communistic, only the feet. It's a constitution of, like I said, of these things around the world. So when we see this, then we know that God has torn up Jerusalem because now hath come the Antichrist. Coming up out of the deep, going into perdition as the son of perdition. The devil it was in Judas, for Jesus said, 12, I've chosen a devil among you. So the devil cast out. The time now for the moving of the personification, setting up his kingdom, which will be total darkness, which means they'll have no understanding except intellectual understanding from the old colleges. Everything will go into darkness as to the intellect. Everybody with a diplomacy. Everybody intellectually. Everybody with experiences. Everybody with frolic. Everybody with their natural desires. Everybody with passion. No more religious things. Put it out. One religion. Catholic. If you're not that, then that means you're in trouble. And the Catholics will allow for all of the worldly things. So then that means that with this, see, these things come together as to the middle of the week. Now listen real good. The middle of the week. Daniel said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now look at this. We said 93. All of a sudden, we uncover the fact that 7 months ago, though as far as I know, there's been nothing said of it, that there was something that was drawn up that was signed by the Jewish people, no one else, just the top leaders of the Jews, that this will be that from henceforth, as the prophet said, and all of the world shall enter in through the gates of Jerusalem. Which that's the Old Testament prophecy. We spoke of these things, trampling down the outer courts, and you've seen them come from all over the world as tourists into Jerusalem. Just like the prophet said, seeing it, we off in the end time. See, and then all of a sudden, as they said, they will come. And they said, and we will build the temple back. As it is written again, when you look in the scriptures, as they, one of them stood up over there in the time of the Pentecostal gathering saying, and this agrees with what the prophets have said, I will return in the latter days, saith God, and build up the fallen down house of David. Which house was that that David gathered as material? Too much blood on his hand to build the house of God, so Solomon built it. So then the lively stones as to Jerusalem, that new city, that's Solomon's temple on the new earth, but it has to come to pass in the natural to the natural Jew. So, that temple which will be as to the millennium. And all of the nations, the Bible said through the prophetical letters, shall flow unto this great temple. And the people will say, let us go up unto the house of our God and let him teach us of his ways. And after the battle of Armageddon, 7 years of tribulation, they'll beat their swords into plowshares and pruning hooks. So, they will burn the wood of all of this artillery, these different things that hath wood, they'll burn it after that for firewood. And then this great millennium will come in. They'll plow their own fields, plant their own vineyards, build their own houses. The lion will lay down with the bullock
and eat straw together. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. It'll be God's day of rest, and nothing shall harm in all the holy mountain. The curse that's lifted already for us, that from Calvary, by faith we see it in the Spirit, it will be lifted from them by our return as a sunlight to them during the millennium to restore all things that the kingdom worm has got, the years the caterpillar has got, which means the worm Jacob as to the human being, or the body, which is the people, which is the old body of the serpent that's divided with their intellect. I will destroy them that destroy the earth, even them that destroy the morals, or bring in these inventions of blowing up the things as to the bums and cracking the earth up. See, so then all this will be there, the day of God's rest, when it's fully restored of all lost species. Then the celestial will come. It will change into the celestial and be forever celestial as to the new earth. And down will come that beautiful city, which is you, the lively sons descending out of heaven, where you're at, having wrote over that, coming down upon that new earth as that jasper light of the revelation of understanding on the inside of this great temple, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God within you, radiating through there, going out as a governmental constraint to all the world, because there's two constraints, there's two governments. One is an intellectual government of the tree of knowledge. One is the word of life from the tree of life that is God's people's government. And all the government of the world stems from the old house of prostitution as to the tree of knowledge, the intellectual, to build all that you've got in your modernism of things and to educate, to legislate, to bring about sheriffs and to bring about presidents of intellectual degrees and all of this. And so it is of the world. And all of that's vanity to pass away. It's only a reflection. But this great wonderful life that God had given us to make Adam the God family and him the government of the earth. See, this is the light, the abundance of living. And this is that understanding of Almighty God that spoke the world into existence, that created you. And this great light coming at the end of the millennium will completely abolish everything. Heaven, earth, everything will pass away as to these natural things. A new heaven, a new earth. This great, wonderful light will radiate from the celestial city, which will be the government constraint, your understanding, your mind, your diplomacy. All of them will be of a good understanding. See, and all the world will walk in the light of that government, that understanding, and the kings and the thrones of the world. And all the kings will come periodically into that city where the bride will be, putting their crowns down at the feet of him that sits upon the throne, and there where the 24 elders is, to represent all of the people, saying, Lord of lords, King of kings, thou hast made us kings and priests under our God, that we should rule and reign with thee. When we look at this, we know then, 7 months ago, this religious thing was signed. This stated in many words that we the Jews agree that every religion of the world shall be protected to where they can worship the way that they want to, as to any people, as to any God, and they will have protection. And this is their interpretation of what the prophet was speaking of, which brings a natural thing when God was speaking of the millennium, when the Jews will be the head of the nation. But as to this period of the natural, they are putting it all in the natural because they only know a natural promised land. They don't know a kingdom like we know it. They don't know these spiritual things. So then they just know it natural. They're putting it all together natural, bringing it to a terminal point to show you how close it is. They signed this. All of their great leaders signed this when God said, choose not the way of the heathens, which puts them out of the favor of God. Now, this thing was signed May 19th, 93. They had it all hid away until just recently. And all of a sudden, out it comes 7 months later. At the same time, I believe it was September the 13th, and this was May the 9th. I believe that's the way it was. September the 13th. We'll have to check the dates on that to be sure. But anyway, they had this peace pact sign between the Arabs and the Jews. They had this sign. Now, both of these points to one thing, and that's death for Israel. And Daniel said, thou shalt make a covenant with death. And here it is, they've made the covenant with death, all in the year of 93. So then we see that at the first of the year, this comes about, but it was also in 93. Now, when this thing is put in effect, it will be the beginning of the last week. Daniel's covenant that he spoke of. Now, looking at this, this covenant that they made with the Arab people, it is to give them Jerusalem and to leave Jerusalem under their control for the first 3 years or 3.5 years along in there. This is the agreement. But it is specifically stipulated in there that after 3 years, the thing will be open for decision between the Jews and the Arabs as to whether the Jews shall continue to keep Jerusalem or not. Now see, that puts it right in the middle of the week. Now, in that you know, and I know, that the Arab people will never let them keep Jerusalem. The one thing that they've desired is to have Jerusalem. The one thing that the papacy has desired is to have Jerusalem, because they know that's the capital of the Holy Land and is the capital of the entire world. And building on that Temple Mount will bring that temple back as to the one that sits there, as Daniel said, to anoint the most holy, as to what Satan will try to do when he's cast out to make himself the most holy, even as he is right now in the papacy saying, "Most Holy Father," supposed to being the holy of all. See, and in this, he will attempt to do that, to set that Vatican up there, and to do that at the middle of the week. And in the middle of the week, the opening is this. They're going to try to decide whether Jerusalem should be kept by the Jews, as to the tomb of David, as to the city of David, as to their headquarters, or they that it should be given to the Arabs. The Arabs certainly is not going to let Jerusalem keep it. And they're going to contest it with all they've got. But the Jews is not going to yield it to the Arabs without spilling the last drops of their blood if they can help it. Agreement or no agreement. They vowed that when this thing happened on Masada, and they was pinned up at Masada, and they had to go there and commit suicide to keep from falling into the hands of the enemy, that it would never happen to them again. So they're ready to spill their blood and die for Jerusalem. Now, when this turmoil comes about in the middle of the week, the thing that's going to spring out of that is that this international league of these that's going to confederate, this is what's going to bring in the wrath of God of the seven last vials on the seat of the Antichrist. This is what's going to take the blood off of the seat of atonement, because at that time God's going to receive the Jews. And when they rise against that little nation, the international league is going to step in, and the papacy, which wants a part in the future of Israel that says now we want diplomatic relations, has done nothing but, as it was in the Old Testament, set Israel up as Naboth in the Old Testament when Jezebel set Naboth up because Ahab wanted the vineyard. Praised him, lifted him up, made him look real good, and then said he blasphemed. And they're going to magnify Jerusalem, lift them up, our big brother, our great priesthood, and then get them up there and then charge them with blasphemy against the great Horus church, and then confederate and close in on them because of this religious thing that they have signed. They're going to be smitten. And right when they cry peace from this thing that they're signing, it's going to break right in the middle of the week in sudden destruction. And all of a sudden, the seven trumpets and the stars are going to fall. The bombs are going to blow up. The shrapnel is going to be there. Blood mingled with hail and all of these things upon the Jews and upon all the world. Because it's going to bring the whole world into a topsy-turvy sort of a thing as it goes on through this transitional change
toward the end, as to Babylon has fallen, as Mr. Bush, when he knocked that thing down, showing it here at the beginning of it, that it might bring it to the end and bring up the new earth. For when Jerusalem comes upright, as to the Jew, it will show the body upright. And the church is already gone, and that means the world has to follow it and come upright. And the seven vials show that is to the end of it, right over there at this last. It says an earthquake such as was never before in all the history of the world. We spoke of Mr. Gorbachev, this arsenal sort of a thing, the fallout. And that what would be happening there is he pours out his plagues in the air, and it will be these mountains that's out of sight in the ocean coming back up. And these that are mountains that's already up that goes down. For the mountains that's up now was down before, and the mountains that's down was up before. And it's got to go back to its original position. And when it does, then it comes back with that great fertility for that fertile land to bring in that millennium of 1,000 years, to where a man will live 1,000 years and have the same potentials to eat that he had during the time before the flood, back there before these things went away to this extent, whereas it appeared that all this happened at the flood. Can't go into that. We spoke sporadically of a few little things. So then we know then that this points to the middle of the week. And what's going to happen is that International League is going to come in there. And they're going to take Jerusalem and declare it an international city, so that Antichrist can set up his kingdom, set up his throne, and from there, he's going to try to rule the world, and that's why God is going to tear it down in the middle of the week, just as they think they've got all of this thing going together, tear it down, and the whole thing will still be forced back to Babylon, to where the thing was before, as the old Babylonian system before, and this thing tore down, and God will not bless the temple or any of these other things, as in Titus 70 AD, when we told you that he come in there and destroyed the city and said it was the act of God when the temple was burned. When we said God burned the temple to do away with the record, so that when they go to anoint the most holy, which is Jesus, politically speaking, or as to the natural side of life, they have to give it to Jesus, because there's no more records of anybody of kingship all the way back as to the heir of David, as to the son of David, except this that was taken when they were forced to go up to Jerusalem when Mary and then went up to Bethlehem. The child was born, and the record was there among the politicals to say, this is the record of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was born, and there's no other records. Burn that temple down. Destroy all the records, and we'll pull this record in the end time, and they'll have to give him the throne. And nobody can do anything to contest it. So then we see that with this coming up to the middle of the week, coming up when they come up to this covenant that's confirmed for 1 week, and I say confirmed for 1 week because there isn't but 1 week left. That's why Daniel saw it as 1 week. It was only 1 week of the 490 years left. So confirm it for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, it shall be broken. He, the Antichrist, would have to be on the scene somewhere. See, and he had come, because the first of the week has to be confirmed. And with that, the middle of the week, the beast comes up out of the water. And see, and the thing really gets underway then, because Satan is cast out and the league comes together as that triple league coming together for those three things that will cause that great problem that we're speaking of. And there that will be broken, they will break the covenant. And Israel will pull away, for there will be the blood of their redemption, and the light of the Gentiles will go out, because when the Jews are changed, there will be no more light in the earth, not even as to the Ark of the Covenant, as to the offering of the sacrifices and the oblation, as to the purifying of that of the red heifer, in that they're blinded to the blood of Messiah. They cannot offer that anymore, though they can from the first of the week to the middle of the week. And it's to the sanctifying, Paul said, because that is until their Messiah comes.
But when the blood comes, then all of a sudden they can't offer that, and that means there'll be no more light as to the reflection in the earth, and the body will not be here to reflect anymore, even as you are the Jews, and all of the light gone out, and this whole world will become darkness, because Satan is the prince of darkness, the god of darkness. And when the illumination of light leaves, sevenfold, scorching the people, withdrawing into the nova, even as scientists say. And then once everything is in total darkness, and this world is nothing but a pit, because this world is gross darkness already, and we are lights as in the midst of this thing. Gross darkness covering the people, intellectual as to the tree of knowledge, Lucifer, the god of darkness, the reflector. If that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Which means an understanding, but only is that as to illumination, and the light goes and the glow leaves. All right, let's stand together. We could go on and go on seeing things here, but this is enough to bring it around where you can understand it, and if there's any reference back to it, we can pull out a little part of it here and there, say something about it, or the tape would be there for reference. Appreciate your kindness tonight. I ask God to prepare your heart to where you'd bear with me and give me a chance just to run through this to let you know how close it is. And don't forget, there's one thing now. Don't forget, those things pertaining to the last week, you will not see. You will not be there during that period of time. If these things are that close as to this covenant having been made and is ready to be enacted, and it will be enacted, there'll come a time when this thing will be enacted. Now, it has yet a little while before it's confirmed. And he that will come will confirm it with many people. And the confirmation of that is going to lead to that Gorbachev thing. Now you just keep your eyes on it and watch. Because I said that Gorbachev would become like a great prince among Israel or whatever. That is, they would favor him. And already they call him the star of all political stars or powers or politicians. And to favor him, and that's all it takes, is for him to be involved, and the papacy to be involved, and these kind of things, and world peace, this religious pact, and all these things together, and the whole world's in chaos. So just watch, and you'll see that this thing will come around, that the confirmation will be there. When it is confirmed as to be enacted, that'll be it. She'll set in then. Two prophets is close to coming on the scene. The great mighty Moses and the great mighty Elijah, which hath power to call fire down from heaven. And these two great mighty prophets to minister 3.5 years in sackcloth and ashes to get Israel ready to turn the hearts of the children, Israel, the children of Israel, back to the fathers, back to the priesthood. And the hearts of the fathers, the priesthood of Israel, back to the children. Because right now they're scattered. The children are not interested in religion, and the priests are interested in drinking and partying. He will do this to fulfill Malachi, where he said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and mighty day of the Lord comes, that day that shall burn as an oven, the wrath of God coming." I know that was at Calvary, John. I know the spirit of Elijah. But Elijah himself must return and come back in the end time. And Moses must come back in the end time as the two candlesticks to prophesy 3.5 years. And in this, these great mighty prophets that have lived in glory will actually come back and go to the middle of the week and be killed in the middle of the week. And in the middle of the week, they will be caught up. And then no doubt the television will ring it around the world, and people will rejoice, and they will send all kind of goodies to one another, rejoicing over these prophets. They'll lay dead in the street several days because these prophets tormented them that live on the earth. Because the Bible teaches that long about that time comes its everlasting gospel to be preached to them that dwell on the earth. So you see that thing is going to be tutored and taught even by the prophets and through that thing to let them know as to the Antichrist that everything is ended and everything is over. And then, of course, all of a sudden, they'll go up, just like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, to show it's one and the same. The two disappeared, and Jesus was there. The two prophets will leave, and there will be the nail prints. See, as they go up into heaven, and there, their enemies shall see them ascend up into heaven. Then Antichrist sets up his kingdom. No more gospel, no more light. The Jews will no longer be a scapegoat. The wall will be broke down. The middle wall of partition. Let's sing a little chorus together. This is how close it is now. If that's going to happen, you will have to go out when it is confirmed at the first of the week and will not see these things that we're speaking of. Just remember that. That means that if all of those other things are that close, then this is how close it is to you as to the sounding of that trumpet where it descends from heaven and this great mystery of God being finished and the church ages being over, as I said concerning America and these kind of things. Jesus sat on the mountain and said, when you see these things, that'll be the end. I made diligent comparison with that to the opening of the sixth seal. It is exactly to the T what Jesus said. Bringing in the Jews. Talking to the Jews. All right, let's sing a little chorus or two together and we'll let you go. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bout over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. While we sing these little choruses, the altar is open if you'd like to come down. I claim Jesus first of all. God will answer me when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing it, baby. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For we know that we're those children God set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough. One more time.